Welcome to Your Ultima Life Podcast, where we help you break free from mediocrity and create a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy. Get your free video series at yourultimatelife.ca.
Hi there. Welcome to today's episode of Your Ultimate Life. Welcome to Your Ultimate Life. This is a nice picture behind me. I hope you're watching the video. I don't remember where I took this, but it's a beautiful room and quite large. Anyway, today I wanted to create an episode or have some conversation about what I call the happier you. The happier you. Now, I'm not saying that to suggest you're not happy right now. Maybe you're gloriously happy. I sat and thought for a moment about happy before I started this, and I thought, you know, I am. And that doesn't mean I don't, you know, struggle with typical things. For example, as I record this afternoon, there's a whole bunch of things competing for attention. And like you, I have lots of commitments, lots of things that, you know, I have committed to do. Now, I live a life without obligation. And I'm not going to talk a lot about that right now because that's a whole episode. But there's a difference between an obligation and a commitment. An obligation may have started as a commitment. An obligation is something you feel like you're supposed to do, you have to do. Maybe you wanted to do it at some time, but now it has sort of grown weary and feels heavy and unpleasant. Lots of people treat relationships that way. So they're in a relationship and they got there on purpose. They committed. I'm here. I'm going to do this. And then over time, maybe things have changed. Maybe you've stopped putting in the effort to keep the relationship nurtured and healthy. But whatever it is, suddenly it feels like an obligation. That gets expressed when people talk about their partners. And it's just one area where this happened. It says, well, I had no choice. I got to do this. You know, I had no choice. That's an embarrassing cop-out. It's not true. You do have a choice always. But anyway, I don't use the word obligation for anything that I do, anytime. And I'll tell you why. It's a mind shift. When I use the word obligation, either internally or externally, every time I hear it or say it, it feels like it carries the seeds of resentment. Oh, I have an obligation. Almost always means I'd rather be doing something else. In other words, I have something I feel like I have to do, and if all else being equal, I'd rather be doing something else. And then we use the word obligation. And so it carries these seeds of resentment and the feeling that I don't really want to. What if you framed everything that there is in front of you as this is what I'm committed to do, and I choose to go at it with all my heart, gusto, livelihood, power, you know, energy, everything, all I've got, I'm going to do it with all I've got. I don't care if it's putting your clothes away, doing the dishes, or writing a poem or a book, or going skiing, or, you know, playing basketball, or taking a walk in the sunshine, or making love to your partner. Like, if you have an obligation, then you have transitioned away from, I really want to do this. No one, when there's something they really want to do, says, well, it's my obligation. Nobody says that. Nobody thinks that. We only use that language when it's got some negative stuff attached to it. So I want to invite you, as we go into this discussion about the happier you, to think about the difference between obligation and commitment. Now, one of the things that happens is we make commitments. Let's say you buy something on credit. You want the thing really bad, a car, a computer, whatever it is. And then after a month or two or six or 12, depending on how long the payments are, the excitement has long since worn off. And you have these frustrating monthly payments you have to make for 12 or 24 or 60 months if it's a car. Think about that for a minute. You have transformed a commitment which you willingly and joyfully entered into this obligation you wish was over. What happened? Well, you made a different choice. You or I, if I'm doing that, are guilty of the idea that I want everything I want right this minute, and it should be easy, quick, and never cause me a problem. And these payments should just somehow either end early or they shouldn't feel like it's a problem. I shouldn't be wishing, oh, I wish I had that $500 a month to do something else with. I challenge you at this moment, as we go into this happier you conversation, to get rid of all your obligations. And that doesn't mean you have to change one thing about what you do. You can. We'll talk about that in a second. But my invitation is, understand that they're all commitments, and go at them with joy and with conviction, just because you can, just because it is your opportunity to do that. Okay, the happier you. Another way might be to say the best you. Often people will say in my business, you know, be the best version of yourself. You know, what is that? The what? The most fit, physically fit, the most educated. Most of the time we're talking about some standard. I'm going to be the best version of myself, the most developed, the kindest, the most loving. I don't know. What are your words? If I say, what is the best version of yourself? And you had 30 seconds to describe it, what would that be? Like, I don't know what it is for you, but take a minute and do that right now. What is the best version of yourself? Here's what I would say. My best version is to be aligned with the complete best vision that my Creator had for me. Because you see, my view is that God is perfect and knows exactly the maximum thing that would make me most developed and most happy. That doesn't mean in any way, shape, or form I'm abdicating or giving up my own right to choose. That's sacred and given to us, and we each have it every minute and all of our lives. We have the right to choose. But I have learned sometimes, often, I guess, through sad experience, that when I ignore inspiration, intuition, I almost always end up getting myself in trouble in a place where I wish I wasn't, or in a situation where I wish things were different. And when I seek intuition and listen to it and then act according, I never find myself in that situation. I always find myself in a place of peace. I'm not fussed, even if things are a struggle. I'm not pretending that intuition keeps us out of difficulties. It doesn't. Because my experience is this life is built to stretch and try and prove and demonstrate who we really are. So for me, the happier Kellen is one who is diligently and intentionally pursuing the best that I can be, the kindest, the most loving, the most dedicated, the most committed, the most honorable, the person that radiates the divine, the most inviting, the most encouraging. And you might picture myself as the best I can be. It's that. And you know, it's funny, what doesn't ever come up for me when I have that conversation is the most money I can possibly accumulate, the biggest house I can have, the most luxury. I do think about health, because I've had lots of health challenges, and I imagine any and everyone would. So healthy, capable, loving, serving, doing good, adding good to the world, all that kind of stuff really jazzes me. And you know what I notice is when I do that, finances, money, and business takes care of itself. And I'm not saying, you know, don't pay attention to growing your business. Of course you do, because your ability to add good to the world and serve is going to be related to how much cash you have. It takes cash to write books, publish books, create influence, spread a message. It really does. And the more wealth you can accumulate by adding good to the world, then the more influence and power you have. All right, so let's take just a minute and have you answer for yourself. If I ask you, what is the best you? What is that? I want you to write it down. Now, I'm not going to have a space. If I was teaching a master class, I would tell everybody, okay, you have 3 minutes to go write that down. And I'm not going to leave 3 minutes of space here in the podcast for you to make a list. But your assignment is, as soon as you're done listening to this or while you're listening, write down the things that you would consider are hallmarks of the best you. Here's something I know universally 100%. It always consists of growth words, accomplishment, doing things, activity, growing and doing and being more. It never consists of stagnant words, satisfied words, status quo words, and certainly not backsliding or backwards words. We never use those. So the best you is going to be one that lives up to your divine potential. You hear that a lot. Divine potential. What is that? Well, you and I are children of the divine. We're created on purpose. You're not an accident. Neither am I. You and or I may have been born with certain challenges, difficulties. I got bad eyes and bad ears. And as I said that, you made a list of yours. You have bad this, that, and the other. Things that are broken physically, mentally, whatever it is. It's okay. That's part of the gig. Because the thing that contributes to you and me being the best we can be is how we handle that stuff. If I was angry or frustrated every time I was limited in some way by my hearing loss, I would spend a lot of time angry and frustrated. It's particularly poignant for me because I do a lot of music. And in the recording studio, good frequency response, a good frequency distribution in the song is really important as an engineer. And so I've developed ways to compensate for that. I have some visual tools and some comparative analysis stuff that I run to allow myself to turn out professional work because my ears themselves aren't accurate anymore. I have pretty good hearing loss in certain frequency ranges. And that doesn't frustrate me anymore. I've done something to get past it, and so it just is. I have the same thing with eyes. I have some arthritis happening in my back. You know all that if you've listened to other episodes. What are your challenges and limitations that you need to just deal with, create compensation for, and then ignore so that you can be the best you? All right. Now, here's what I notice. When I'm trying to grow, I'm happier. If I'm sitting around complaining, I'm not happy. Complaining doesn't create happy, you know, neurotransmitters. It creates grumpy ones. So complaining is a difference between the happy me and the not happy me. When I'm complaining, I'm unhappy. When I'm praising someone, acknowledging someone, or simply working the best I can with what I have, then I'm happy. I notice that. When I am on purpose engaged in doing good work, so, for example, just before this, I was planning out the next few weeks of podcasts. I've got some guests coming up, and I was looking at this episodes I'm going to do and thinking about a thread of value that I can give to you. And in that process, I was excited. Ooh, that would be a good topic. Oh, that's going to be a great guest. And what I notice is when I'm positively working on contributions, I feel happy. When I'm not, I feel either neutral or negative. The day seems long. I feel bored. Wonder when's it going to be? Oh, you know, I'm looking forward to some next thing. When I'm busy doing good stuff, I don't feel that way. Another thing I've noticed is that when I'm serving, when I'm doing something for others, I feel happy. I'll give you a perfect example. This morning, I happened to be recording this on Sunday afternoon. This morning, I got up. And one of the things I do is I play the organ for my congregation at church. And I've been doing that for many, many years. Nearly everywhere we go, we're in a new congregation. It isn't very long, a few months, sometimes a year before I get asked to be the organist because it becomes clear to people that I do that well and so forth, blah, blah, blah. So I got up this morning. I did not feel like getting up. My body was tired. My arthritis was bothering me. And I wasn't sure if I'd had enough sleep. And so I thought, you know what? Services start here. I got to shower and shave and get dressed and put on a tie and do all the stuff you do for church, right? And to start with, I wasn't feeling it. And so I thought about, what am I doing here? Well, I'm going to serve. I'm going to play the songs for people to worship and sing and stuff. And all the way getting dressed and da-da-da, feeding the dog and all the things, it just sort of gradually got a little better. And you know what? As soon as I got to church and hit the organ bench when I was playing some prelude for the music or for the services, all of it instantly disappeared because at that moment I was in the act of service. And the only thing in my heart and my mind was, what am I playing? How can I play it? Volume and registrations on the organ, you know, the sound that come out of the speakers and stuff. How can I do this in a way that is pleasing to those here to worship? How can I honor my heavenly Father and those who have come to worship with what I'm doing? How can I add good to their worship service? And it was funny, the minute I was in service, everything was, the rest of whatever there was evaporated. And that lasted all the way through the meeting. I was able to listen to the people that spoke and kids got up and sang and, you know, it changed everything. Why? Because I was in service. So there are several ways I've just given you about how to create happy, how to create it on purpose in your situation. Don't complain. I mean, you're free to, but that creates negative stuff. Instead, rejoice. Serve. Don't, you know, be frustrated about things you don't have. Don't complain about others or your circumstance. Do what you can with it and go forward with joy just because you can. All right. Now, another thing, that's end of that topic. Now, another thing is, do you love yourself? I know some people, in fact, many, who complain about themselves. I'm not something. I'm not smart enough. I'm too old. It's too late. I'm not a good communicator. I can't speak well. I get nervous when I talk to people. And the list is endless. And you know what it all comes from? It comes from not trusting yourself, and it comes from worrying about others having an opinion about you. You know, you're busy thinking, they're thinking something bad, I'm stumbling, I'm clumsy, I'm whatever, fill in the blank. That isn't happy, right? Because at that moment, you're not actually in service, you're not focused on who you're taking care of, talking to, working with, or anything else, you're focused inward. And so one of the things that I notice is a fulcrum between more happy and less is, where is my vision focused? If it's focused inward on me and I'm worrying about me, I'm self-conscious, what am I doing? Maybe I'll make a mistake. When it's focused that way, that's less happy. When it's focused outward to how can I help? How can I serve? How can I move forward here? What good can I do? That goes directly to happy. And so this is not an invitation to never think about yourself or to never take care of yourself, quite the contrary. But it is an invitation to pay attention. Where am I thinking? Is it outward focused? Is it inward focused? Am I worried about what others are thinking of me? Or am I worried about how I can serve those very people? I mentioned a minute ago about loving yourself. Sometimes that is confused with self-indulgence. I'm not saying you shouldn't take care of yourself, have a vacation, or do the things that make sense, but I'm talking about a daily practice of honoring your spirit, your body, your emotional self, your mental self. Do you have a daily practice of joyfully, lovingly honoring, caring for, feeding yourself? Now, the easiest one to understand is your body. If you don't eat well, it doesn't take very long before you're sluggish. You don't feel good. Things are crummy and it affects your attitude. You know, you get hangry. Things are negative. You lose creativity, et cetera, et cetera. So it's not difficult to see. If you don't feed your body nutritiously, there's a problem. And there's certain conditions like a diabetic, you know, where if you don't take care of your sugar levels, you get completely woozy. Well, your whole body's like that. It's just not as dramatic. So caring for your physical body is a really obvious thing. But the second thing that is actually more important, at least in my opinion, is caring for your heart and soul. Your spirit is affected by your body, but it isn't your body. Do you feed your spirit? What does that mean? What do they eat? Spirit crackers? No. It eats humility. It eats service. It feeds on reverence. It feeds on prayer and meditation. It feeds on service. What I notice is that when I'm in service of others, my spirit is fed. I feel more content. I feel like I'm doing something worthwhile. I'm adding good to the world. And that's whether I'm playing the organ like I did today, or during the week, I'm part of the young men's program in our congregation. And so one night a week, I'm there for a couple of hours doing, you know, programs, activities, and sometimes service projects with the young men in our congregation. When I'm doing that, not only am I helping them do stuff, whatever the stuff is, but my spirit is being fed because my attention is focused outward. My attention is not focused on me. What do I need? What's in it for me? WIIFM. So I've noticed that makes me happy too. Now, I want to give you something that I've discovered as a truth, an eternal truth. I'm just going to say it like I believe it and feel it. Happiness is a choice. And that's a glib and trite thing to say. Yeah, it's easy for you to say. Yeah, it is easy for me to say. Happiness is a choice. There, I said it. You could say it too. You could say it 10 times and be arguing internally with it every time you say it. Here's what I mean by that. If I decide that my contentment or happiness depends on some outside factor, then I'm handing the keys to my life to someone else. For example, if I go to church, like I did today, and I'm depending on someone greeting me and saying, hello, you know, if they don't do that, I'm feeling like grumpy people, they don't care, then I have handed my ability to be happy to somebody else. It's the same thing with your life partner. If you're waiting for them to greet you, or say nice things, or recognize something, again, you're handing your happiness off to somebody else. And why would you do that? So here's what I notice. I notice that I can choose to be happy anytime I want. I can also choose not to be happy. In any given moment, you and I both know we can find three or four things right now that are not like we want. It's too hot. It's too cold. I'm hungry. I'm too full. I don't have enough money. Nobody cares about me. I don't matter. You know, I can find a bunch of things to say or think, and then I can think of and point to a whole bunch of proof that those things are true. And consequently, I can get my body and my spirit all spun up or spun down, as it were, and create a bunch of unhappy, nervous, frustrated, resigned, negative, depressed neurotransmitters and be in that state. You know what else I can do? And you can do? I can sit right now and I can list 10 things that I'm really grateful for. I don't mean just say them to say them, but I mean things that I'm really grateful for. So let me give you an example. I mentioned earlier that I've got this arthritis happening on my right side. So I limp and I use a cane. Not every day, not all the time, but I do. So I can focus on that pain and the fact that I have to be on pain meds, you know, off and on all day now, nearly every day, and that I use a cane and be frustrated about that and say, I'm trying to do good. I'm trying to be happy and healthy, and I'm a coach, and I want to, you know, I could make up a story about why it's not fair, not right, and how come this, that, and the other, and then I would create a whole neurotransmitter cocktail of unfairness and misery. You know what else I can do? And believe me, it's easy to be tempted to do that when things hurt and you don't feel like walking and, you know, all the rest. Or I can say, in truth, I am grateful that I can walk at all. I am grateful that when I sit down to do a podcast or to talk with a coaching client, it doesn't hurt at all. And I can focus entirely and love entirely that person in front of me. And you is listening to this. I can focus on that and be honestly grateful for it. Not superficially. honestly grateful goes really deep. And you know what it does? It creates that fuzzy, warm feeling in our bodies and spirits. Which of those I do, that's my choice. No one can make me spiral down that negative spiral, and no one can make me spiral up. I get to choose. And that's one of the most important things about anything in life. Everything that you experience, you choose. Think about that. Something happens, I choose how I see it. Okay? Something breaks. Something that costs several $1,000 in the recording studio breaks. I can rage and be furious, or I can say, well, this happened, now what should we do? And being bright, being positive, and being curious creates more creativity and positivity. Things get better, they get faster. There's a way always through everything. Now, there is another fundamental principle I want to leave you with. No matter what happens, there's always a way through. There's always a next step. There's always a way forward. Now, that said, you're free at any time to give up, sit in a corner and pout and whine, but that never creates solutions. There is always a way forward. Now, the last thing I want to talk about in this episode is just plain love. Love, because this, you know, this whole episode is the happier you. If I'm envious, if I'm jealous, if I feel hard done by, if I'm mad at someone, if I'm, you know, swirling up about life being unfair, if I'm doing any of those things, that doesn't feel good. That neurochemical cocktail sucks, and you know it. On the other hand, if I am loving you, if I'm choosing to love whoever I'm talking to, if I'm looking intentionally for the good, for the blessings, for the joy, for ways to lift and serve, if I'm filling my heart with that desire on purpose, because I can, you know what I notice? I'm happier. So there's something about love that brings happy. There's something about service that brings happy. And so when I say this episode is about the happier you, the whole thing is about drawing your attention and mine to the fact that joy is a choice, being happy is a choice. I get to love no matter what's going on, and so do you. It may be rusty, like if you haven't practiced that, and if you right now are like I have been, which is externalities, other people's attitudes, feelings, circumstances, their action or inaction are the main ingredients in my life, then I've given away my ability to choose happiness for that moment. But here's the beautiful thing. You can change that on a dime. Right now, you can reach out and grab with absolute authority your right to choose to be happy. So here's the final thing today. Love yourself. You're divine. You're capable. And take control back of your life. I challenge you to find gratitude in every single thing. Find the gift in every circumstance. Make a choice to be happy just because you can, not because of any other reason. You know why? Happy feels better. Happy is more creative. Happy is more fun to be around. Happy is more fruitful and more productive. That I can promise you 100% of the time. I also know from my own experience that learning the habit of finding the gift, learning the habit of looking for ways to serve, and learning the habit of loving yourself every day and loving those around you. And by love, I mean looking for ways to make lives brighter and more joyful. All of those drive the happy feeling. All of those make you feel more joyful, more contented, like you fit in better, like you have purpose. And you can do that anytime you want, I promise. And I can also make you one other promise, and that is if you choose to be happy and love and serve all the time, that's a big key. And you'll find that it will be very simple to move forward and create your ultimate life.
Open your heart and this time around.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. We hope that you take it deeply into your heart and decide for yourself how you can create anything you desire. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to this podcast and share it with your friends. As always, we'd love to hear your feedback and topic suggestions. Until tomorrow, this is Your Ultimate Life with host Kellen Flukiger.
Stand with your heart in the sky and your feet on